It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Another bloody weekend in America. Good afternoon. Thank you for joining us. I'm Mark Webster.
At this time, we can confirm 14 gunshot victims. 3 fatalities have been confirmed.
Police Chief Celeste Murphy in Chattanooga, Tennessee, scene of one of those shootings. Another took place in Philadelphia.
I first thought it was firecrackers because it was a big party. Then I looked down at my leg and I saw all the blood coming down.
Bystander Rusty Krall in the city of brotherly love, where 3 were shot to death and 12 injured. Philly's district attorney.
These incidents have an exponential effect on our community, and it not only impacts the individual that's been directly victimized, but it victimizes their loved ones, their families, and their neighbors, neighborhoods all over the world.
This Tennessee man seemed to capture the sentiments of many.
Many people right now are feeling unsafe and concerned about our welfare and about the safety of our neighborhood.
Where there's far less consensus, of course, is over the question of what to do about it. The spate of shootings has focused attention on tightening gun laws as one possible remedy. CBS's Anthony Salvanto with results of a new survey on that topic.
The numbers who say that gun laws should generally become more strict is up in recent weeks. It's up since the tragedy in Buffalo to 60%.
Connecticut Democrat Chris Murphy.
Frankly, a test of democracy. It's a test of the federal government as to whether we can deliver at a moment of just fierce anxiety amongst the American public.
But as Congress focuses on gun control legislation, House Minority Whip Stephen Scalise says Democrats are taking the wrong approach.
When you have a shooting, instead of sitting down and going, okay, what is really causing this? Why do we see these happening more and more in the last few years? It immediately becomes a debate about taking away guns.
Now we turn to immigration. There are reports of the largest ever immigrant caravan making its way toward the southern U.S. border. The group is said to number as many as 15,000 and to contain a large number of women and children. Former Texas Assistant Attorney General Robert Hennecke says President Biden should be pressuring Mexico to stop that caravan before it gets here.
Biden needs to get tough against the Mexican government that's complicit in cooperating with the cartels to really facilitate these growing migrant caravans.
Texas Department of Safety Lieutenant Chris Olvarez says if that caravan does make it here, it will put tremendous pressure on Border Patrol and other agencies, which are already strained to the breaking point.
Well, it's going to increase those numbers much more. And we know that just the fact that we have those families and unaccompanied children that are coming across, it's depleting those resources from U.S. Border Patrol.
Olvarez says that overwhelming volume will in turn allow more criminals and illegal drugs to flow into the U.S. Well, there's no magic bullet cure for those suffering from long COVID. Not yet, anyway. That's according to the National Institute of Neurological Disorders director, Dr. Walter Koroshetz, appearing on CBS's Face the Nation. He explained that scientists have yet to develop a solution to post-infection symptoms because they don't really understand what's going on biologically. He also says that the range of long COVID symptoms can include neurological, pulmonary, cardiovascular, and digestive issues among survivors. Well, call it the drive for 5, not that anyone really wants to get there. The nationwide average price for a gallon of gas keeps streaming toward $5 a gallon. Gas prices jumped another dime over the weekend. AAA finds the national average price for regular is up to $4.86 a gallon. That's a 25-cent a gallon bump over the past week. The price is over $5 a gallon already in 9 states and the District of Columbia. Californians are grappling with prices over $6 a gallon.
I'm getting electric. This is ridiculous.
Do we put gas in the tank or do we cut Starbucks? I cut Starbucks so I can get to work every day.
Georgia has the closest thing to a bargain for gasoline right now. They're at about $4.29 a gallon. At least 5 Tampa Bay Rays baseball players decided to not wear a patch the team added to their uniforms to celebrate Pride Month over the weekend. Saturday was the team's 16th annual Pride Night celebration, and Rays caps and uniforms had logos colored in the style of the LGBTQ+ Pride flag, but 5 players opted to wear the team's standard caps for Saturday night's game. Pitcher Jason Adam, one of them, he says he and the others made what they called a faith-based decision that was not judgmental. Meanwhile, America's 3rd largest mainline Protestant denomination continues to split wide open over LGBTQ issues. The latest fissure involves 70 Georgia churches, most of them rural, which have broken away, disaffiliating themselves from the United Methodist Church. Now to Ukraine. Russian rockets struck the capital Kyiv for the first time in more than a month early Sunday. Ukraine said the strike hit a rail car repair works, while Moscow claimed its missiles destroyed tanks that Eastern European countries had sent to Ukrainian forces. One person was hospitalized. No immediate reports of deaths. Speaking through a translator, Russian President Vladimir Putin warning the West not to supply Ukraine with long-range rockets.
If longer-range missiles are going to be supplied, we'll make certain conclusions and use our own means of destruction, which we have enough to strike at those targets which we have not yet been hitting.
Meanwhile, America's ambassador to Russia is telling the Kremlin not to close the embassy. Ambassador John Sullivan telling Russia's state news agency that Washington and Moscow shouldn't simply break off diplomatic relations over the Ukraine situation. Now to Korea, where U.S. and South Korean forces matched some recent saber-rattling by North Korea's Kim Jong-un.
Just a day after North Korea fired 8 ballistic missiles, South Korea and the U.S. took the unusual step of firing exactly the same number of ballistic missiles off the east coast of the Korean Peninsula early this Monday morning here, demonstrating the allies' immediate precision strike capabilities and readiness to use them.
Reporter Alex Jensen in Seoul. And today marks the 78th anniversary of D-Day. World War II veterans will be joined by thousands of visitors at the American Cemetery in Normandy. The chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff will be on hand as U.S. Air Force aircraft fly over the burial site as part of the commemoration ceremony. Still to come in the noon report, a Niagara Falls police officer still recovering from injuries over the weekend. We'll get the latest on gender identity politics in New York State and also the latest on Pennsylvania's U.S. Senate race.
Good afternoon. On the weather map, a warmer air mass is moving in today, but only for a short while. I'll have forecast details coming up in 10.
All right. Thank you, Kevin Williams. Now checking the stories making news where you live in New York and Pennsylvania. A Niagara Falls police officer still recovering after being injured in the line of duty. The department says officers were called to look into a report of a suspicious person behind a Rite Aid store. That was on Friday. When police approached the 29-year-old man, he pulled out a knife, went toward the officers and stabbed one of them. He was then shot by other officers and taken to the hospital in critical condition. The officer who was stabbed suffered injuries to his back and arm, but is said to be recovering. Last week, New York State Senator Brad Holliman introduced a bill that would not inform parents if the child changes their gender identity. Ralph Kerr with the Teaching and Learning Institute in Houghton, New York, says that's an affront to mothers and fathers.
Parents, in my mind, are the primary educators of their children, and certainly whatever's happening in school, they should have a right to know.
And he adds,
my advice to parents is make sure that you tell teachers and administrators that when they're talking to you about your child, you want to know what's happening and what's going on and what conversations they've had with the people at school.
You can hear more about this during today's Noon Report feature coming up later in this newscast. Governor Hochul has officially announced a special election to fill the vacant seat in the 23rd Congressional District. The position's been empty since last month when former Congressman Tom Reed resigned to take a job with Prime Policy Group, a PR and government relations agency in Washington, D.C. The election will happen on Tuesday, August 23rd. The candidate who wins will serve until the end of the year. With Friday's withdrawal by Representative Chris Jacobs from the race for the redrawn 23rd Congressional District, the question for Republican voters is who will be running. Controversial Buffalo developer Carl Paladino has thrown his hat into the ring. Paladino got a quick endorsement from prominent Republican Rep. Elise Stefanik and says that former President Donald Trump is also on board. There are also reports, though, that New York GOP Chairman Nick Langworthy is considering a run for the 23rd District. Jacobs bowed out after the blowback from his comments last week in support of Democrat-led gun control efforts. Some new data from the State Health Department shows that adult cigarette smoking in New York is an all-time low. In 2020, that rate was sitting at 12%, which is below the national average of 15.5%. Among people between ages 18 and 24, the smoking rate is 5.5%. However, diseases that are caused by smoking and secondhand smoke still cause over 22,000 deaths statewide each year. Several properties in and around the city of Corning are going to be investigated by the New York State Department of Environmental Conservation to see if there are any inactive hazardous waste sites hidden there, and if so, to assess what threat they might present. The properties to be probed fall outside of the Houghton plot area, which is already the subject of DEC remediation, and a Corning Inc. spokesperson says none of the areas targeted for investigation will involve company property. Pennsylvania's U.S. Senate race is now set after Dave McCormick conceded to Dr. Oz over the weekend.
It's now clear to me, with the recount largely complete, that we have a nominee. And today I called Mehmet Oz to to congratulate him on his victory.
Oz will now face Democrat John Fetterman in November. Political strategist Chris Nicholas tells ABC 27.
The battle is over the independents and those folks who are what I refer to as weak Republicans or weak Democrats, folks who aren't quite as into it as people who vote in primaries.
Friday, we heard for the first time from Fetterman's doctor saying he's known about his heart condition for 5 years, with Fetterman admitting he almost died. A federal judge has scolded Penn State for how it has dealt with a sexual misconduct complaint. U.S. Middle District Judge Matthew Braun had dismissed the claims of a Jennifer Oldman, a fencing club owner and coach in North Carolina. She had accused the university and three people of trying to cover up the 2017 sexual misconduct of a former assistant fencing coach. The judge says he dismissed the suit partially because Oldman has no direct connection to Penn State. He also gave the defendant permission to file an amended complaint in 3 weeks. Promoters say their Great Bear roller coaster has now marked 24 years at Hershey Park. The ride opened in May 1998 at a cost of $13 million. It's named after the constellation Ursa Major, which is also known as the Bear. The website says it's the only coaster in the park that allows riders to go underneath the track with nothing below them. And a bill that would require the Pennsylvania Turnpike Commission to notify an E-ZPass account holder of certain violations has passed the State House. It would cover notification for the first time a person incurs a video, aka VTOL, in a calendar year. VTOLs are charged when an E-ZPass system can't detect a transponder in a car as it gets off or on a turnpike or travels through a toll plaza. The car is then identified and charged based on the plate or registration information. The VTOL bill is now in the Senate for consideration there. And now let's check sports.
Good afternoon, I'm Brandon Dixon. Let's get started in the NBA Finals, where revenge was sweet and swift for the Warriors as Golden State used a huge third quarter, including this buzzer-beating three by Jordan Poole to beat the Boston Celtics 107-88 last night.
Poole with the ball. Launches. Oh! Money!
The Dubs' Draymond Green says he gave Golden State the, quote, attitude adjustment they needed to tie the best of seven series at one game apiece.
Can't fall behind 2-0. I know that falls on me, the physicality. That's my department. I have to make sure I lead in that area and everyone else will follow. So wanted to come out physical from the gate.
Game three is Wednesday in Boston. In tennis, despite needing an injection in his ailing left foot just to be able to play, Rafael Nadal won his 14th French Open title and 22nd Grand Slam on Sunday.
I was able to play during these 2 weeks with an extreme conditions. No, I have been playing with an injections on the nerves.
Nadal is now the oldest champ in tourney history. And in Major League Baseball, five Tampa Bay Rays players decided not to wear rainbow-colored logos on their uniforms as part of the team's annual Pride Night on Saturday that recognized the LGBTQ community. Pitcher Jason Adam was among those that said it was a, quote, hard, faith-based decision. Adam added, quote, ultimately what we want is them to know that all are welcome and loved here, but when we put it on our bodies, I think a lot of guys decided that it's just a lifestyle, that maybe we don't want to encourage it if we believe in Jesus, who's encouraged us to live a lifestyle that would abstain from that behavior. That's a look at sports.
All right, thank you very much, Brandon. Still to come on the Noon Report, the latest on the weekend shootings around the country, progress update on a huge migrant caravan moving toward the U.S. southern border, and we'll update the conflict in Ukraine.
Yes, words matter, even pronouns. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. Just a couple weeks ago, a Title IX investigation was opened against three middle school boys from Wisconsin. Why? Well, they used the pronoun she for a biologically female student who wished to go by the pronoun they. Under the Biden administration, refusing to use misaligned pronouns is now considered sex discrimination. Even style guides today encourage the use of they, if it is the chosen pronoun of an individual. Now, one rationale given is that someone really is whatever gender they claim, and to not recognize that with pronouns is to contribute to that person's psychological distress. This is the case, even if, as Abigail Schreier thoroughly describes in her book as being increasingly common, a person's gender dysphoria is the result of social conditioning. So, According to our own government, we are now in a zero-sum game. Either you use an individual's chosen pronouns or you are blamed for their suicides. Now, thankfully, many are beginning to recognize that even using the pronoun they for an individual is deeply problematic, much less fully imbibing all that the new transgender orthodoxy now commands us to do and say. Recently, the Manhattan Institute's Lior Sapper wrote an editorial entitled Don't Say They. In it, Sapper argues that using they and them to refer to an individual is not harmless. In fact, it amounts to buying into the idea that, quote, gender is an oppressive social system. In other words, using non-binary plural pronouns and also opposite sex pronouns says something that is not true about God's design, the created reality of men and women. So what are we to do? Shall we use words that align with reality? Should we tell the truth? Or should we refuse to risk the psychological distress of a transgender person? Well, I think there are two guiding principles that must shape our response. First, as Alexander Solzhenitsyn advised, we must not live by lies. Second, as Paul advised, so far as it depends on us, we have to live peaceably with all. I think living like Christians today will require both together. Look, words matter. Not only do our words reflect reality, and thus misusing words can distort reality, but Scripture's plain that God's words make up reality. To use words incorrectly is to not only embrace something not true, it is to mislead others away from God. This is not true, nor is it loving. Thus, God says that He hates a lying tongue. You see, in English, names do not indicate gender. Pronouns do. Offering to call an individual by a chosen name is a way of respecting a person without saying something that is not true about them. In fact, in a conversation with an individual, using the pronoun you is fully acceptable, since in English it refers to both plural and singular and can refer to either male or female. In no way does using the word you deny that biological sex is binary. On the other hand, speaking in the third person, he, she, or they, when speaking about others, well, that's trickier. Some people point out that we use the word they all the time to refer to individuals. However, whenever we say something like, well, somebody left their book, we don't know who that person is. It's completely different if we do know who it is. For example, it would be inaccurate and even a little strange to say Abigail left their book. In other words, there are ways, and forgive the double negative here, to not say something that is not true. We can avoid using non-binary or opposite sex pronouns. Instead, we can use names, and we can use plural pronouns to talk about a group rather than an individual. And so, even if pronouns don't seem like a fight worth having, it's as G.K. Chesterton once said, the church and the heresies always used to fight about words, because they are the only thing worth fighting about. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street with Breakpoint.
And time once again to check in with our meteorologist, Kevin Williams.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. For this afternoon, it's a mix of clouds and sunshine generally, a little cloudier near Lake Ontario. The afternoon could also bring a pop-up thundershower in parts of western New York. High temperatures not far from 80. Mainly cloudy tonight and tomorrow. Showers and thundershowers return to western New York and then spread into eastern Pennsylvania later tomorrow. Low temperatures tonight near 60. We're in the 70s tomorrow. Wednesday, partly sunny. Chance of a stray shower in Pennsylvania with high temperatures mostly in the 70s.
Thank you, Kevin. We'll check in with you again one more time before we're through. This is the Noon Report on Family Life. I'm Mark Webster. Thank you again for joining us. Let's recap some of the top stories and see what else is going on today. Around a dozen Americans are dead after another weekend of mass shootings. In Philadelphia, 3 were shot to death, 12 injured, 3 were killed, more than a dozen injured in Chattanooga, Tennessee. The number of deaths this weekend surpassed Memorial Day weekend when 9 people died in mass shootings. Gun control continues to be the topic du jour on Capitol Hill.
Senate negotiators hope to unveil their bipartisan package later this week. While over in the House, they plan to take a vote on their own gun reform legislation. They'll also be hearing from Mia Sadio. She is the 11-year-old who played dead while her school in Texas was under fire.
CBS's Serena Marshall. A migrant caravan said to number up to 15,000 making its way through Mexico toward the U.S. border. Texas Department of Safety Lieutenant Chris Olvarez says the federal government needs to help strained law enforcement agencies in Texas and elsewhere along the border who continue to try to police things.
We've been able to augment that with our state resources, with troopers and National Guardsmen, but again, the federal government needs to step in and provide that support, that added support to our federal partners, U.S. Border Patrol.
Elsewhere around the globe now, the battle rages on in eastern Ukraine.
A building bursts into flames. Russia claims it struck tanks inside, donated from Ukrainian allies. But Leonid, a local resident, says there's nothing in there but rail cars. It's a repair shop, not a military factory, he says. Vladimir Putin is determined to show he can still strike whenever and wherever he wants by air, far from the battlefields of eastern Ukraine, which have crept into Olena Holovka's front yard. We lived peacefully, she says. Now we have nothing left.
CBS's Chris Lipsey reporting. Ukrainian officials say they're losing up to 100 soldiers per day in the conflict. That is twice the rate at which American troops died during the war in Vietnam. Today could be the end of the road for Britain's controversial prime minister.
Could this be the final nail in Boris Johnson's coffin?
The threshold of 15% of the parliamentary party seeking a vote of confidence in the prime minister has been passed.
That means at least 54 lawmakers in the prime minister's own Conservative Party want him out now. But it will take 180 votes to oust him midterm. Those close to Johnson confident this canny political survivor will prevail again today. Vicky Barker, CBS News, London.
South Korea's military says its launch of 8 surface-to-surface missiles demonstrated the capability and readiness to carry out a precision strike against the North's launch sites. South Korea and the U.S. fired 8 missiles early today in response to North Korea's test on Sunday. North Korea's test came a day after South Korea and the U.S. ended joint military drills.
It's Memorial Day here in South Korea, where President Yoon Suk-yeol has vowed to respond sternly to any North Korean provocation. Just hours earlier, South Korea and the U.S. launched the same number of ballistic missiles as the North tested a day earlier, with the stated goal of demonstrating their allied readiness and capabilities.
Back in the U.S., the company that makes tasers is stopping work on a project to equip drones with stun guns. Axon Enterprises says it's halting the project that's aimed at stopping mass shootings. A member of the Arizona-based company's Artificial Intelligence Ethics Board told Reuters the drone taser project prompted a mass exodus from the board. You're plugged into the Noon Report on Family Life.
Welcome back to another edition of Issues in Education. Mondays, during the Noon Report, we spotlight the weighty issues impacting our public schools with the good doctor, Ralph Kerr, at the Teaching and Learning Institute in beautiful Houghton, New York. Well, Ralph, gender benderism seems to know no bounds in this country. In Wake County, North Carolina, maybe we should call it Woke County, North Carolina, school district in the Raleigh area getting into a little trouble by using flashcards to teach kids their colors. These are preschool kids. Ralph, what's the controversy here?
Well, the controversy is really twofold, as I understand it. One is some of the images on the cards show what appears to be a man who is pregnant. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is the colors that are used on the flashcards feature the pride colors. June is Pride Month, so we're going to be just inundated with this kind of stuff. But the problem here is these are preschool students. Fortunately, it appears to be just one teacher, and the district has taken a really hard stand on it, and the teacher actually has been fired.
Yeah, in New York State, a Senator Brad Hoyleman is his name, sponsoring a bill that would force Christian teachers in public schools to use a student's preferred pronoun. A lot of Christian educators are getting around this controversy by just stating student Smith, just student in their last name. If this right. bill passes, those teachers would be forced to use the preferred pronoun. Talk about that, if you would, and the affront that we're seeing to parental rights in public schools.
Well, I'm hopeful that that bill obviously won't pass this year. I was involved in a conversation just last week on this very topic about parental rights. The people I was talking to were educators, and I said, you know, parents, in my mind, are the primary educators of their children, and certainly whatever's happening in school, they should have a right to know. And immediately somebody said to me, well, you know, there might be an abusive situation, and if they knew that their child had declared their gender to be other than what they were born, they could be into abuse at home and that kind of thing. And my response was, how many students are really going to be impacted by that? My advice to parents is make sure that you tell teachers and administrators that when they're talking to you about your child, you want to know what's happening and what's going on and what conversations they've had with the people at school.
Well, I'm sure glad you had that conversation, Ralph, because I know it's happening at dinner tables all across the listening area as well.
Right.
You know, the schools are winding down for this year. I was talking to a baseball friend of mine, a teacher in the area at Dunfield in Elmira. We had a baseball tournament there last week, and I said, hey, Seth, how many more days left? He goes, 12. He knew right exactly how many days. He didn't say, you know, a couple of weeks. He goes, 12. So the teachers know. They have it right in their mental calendar that the days are winding down, and I'm sure the students do as well. A lot of kids are already checked out, Ralph. What are some things that teachers can do to keep their students motivated before summer break?
Yeah, that's a great question, because particularly when the weather's been really hot like it has been the last few days, this is tough. One of the things is to get them outside as much as possible. Let me give a plug here that the Genesee Rapids are hosting Kids Day on Friday, June 17th, and many of the schools in our area are coming to that game. It's at 10 in the morning, and if there are any administrators or parents that are listening, talk to your school. If you're within driving distance, come see the Rapids play. It's a good outdoor activity. Continue to challenge them to do their very best. Friendly competitions is always a good thing. Piques their interest. Mix up your teaching styles for teachers. I mean, if they've always been a lecturer, try something new that would engage the students more. Allow breaks during the day so that they get a chance to do some other things. And then begin to talk about what's going to be involved next year. And then finally, just assign some fun projects, if you can do that, you know, something that the students would enjoy that might keep them engaged for a day or two, or maybe even long term, something that would be due at the end of the year.
All right.
A challenging time.
It sure is. I tell you, the finish line is in sight, not just for teachers and students, but hey, we've got one more Issues in Education we're going to bring you next week. But Ralph, if folks have questions, one more before the end of summer. We'll be back in the fall for sure. But Ralph, if folks have questions about anything they heard on today's program, you have a wonderful website. What is that, Ralph Kerr?
Thank you, Bob. They could simply go to yrun.org, yrun.org.
All right. Thank you very much, gentlemen. Issues in Education airs Mondays during the Noon Report or online anytime at familylife.org. Still ahead, battling a bear with blaring brass?
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. After a superb weekend weather-wise, some unsettled weather is ahead. A warm front lifting north of our region allows for a warmer day today than we saw over the weekend, but an approaching cold front will spark showers and thundershowers and drop our temperatures as the week wears on. For this afternoon, it's a mix of clouds and sunshine generally. A little cloudier near Lake Ontario. The afternoon could also bring a pop-up thundershower in parts of western New York. High temperatures not far from 80. Mainly cloudy tonight and tomorrow. Showers and thundershowers return to western New York and then spread into eastern Pennsylvania later tomorrow. Low temperatures tonight near 60. We're in the 70s tomorrow. Wednesday partly sunny. Chance of a stray shower in Pennsylvania with high temperatures mostly in the 70s.
All righty. Thank you very much, Kevin Williams. Finally at noon. If you've ever had to scare a bear away, you probably never thought about doing it quite like this. We get the story from Family Life's Brian Query.
Officials noticed a bear lurking outside of St. John's Academy in British Columbia as it was sniffing around a trash can outside of the school. Tristan Clausen, a music teacher at the school, tried scaring it away with no success. Then he had a thought, and he reached for a trombone. A video recorded by a student showed the bear becoming startled by Clausen's playing and hurriedly leaving the area. Clausen was glad that he was able to slide in and help scare the bear off. As for his trombone playing being the reason, he said he's trying not to take it personally. Brian Querrey, Family Life News.
Sounds like Charlie Brown's teacher works at that school. That's the world we live in for Monday, June 6, 2022. As always, we thank you very much for listening. I'm Mark Webster, Family Life News.
You've been listening to The Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.